Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'd like to subdivide the defense. The front pass rush is very good and has been for 5 weeks now. And when they're able to get to the opposing quarterback, everybody else looks good too. And when they don't get to the opposing quarterback, everybody else looks bad out there. Here's the evidence I'd throw out to you. You know, the three drives to the Chargers in the second half. In one of those drives, they had two long chunk plays. Both just got called back because of penalties. One of them, they had the weird 4th-and-2, but remember, they set it up off of 3rd-and-14 with a nice completion. And then the third one, they drive all the way to the 1-yard line. Mike Sanders still makes the interception. Monster play in this game. I don't mean to discount the penalties. Certainly the defense has a role in creating those. But that's far from a get-right performance. That's a capitalizing on some breaks performance.
That was Michael Phillips in the Beltway Blitz minutes ago. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. On the Fan, thank you for making the show part of your day. We will talk to Jay Gruden in just over 1.5 hours. Did the Commanders' defense get right, or did they take advantage of the Chargers being injury-riddled and not able to protect Justin Herbert? That's where we want to go here. How much credit do you give the defense, and how much better do you feel about them for a pretty suffocating performance over the final three quarters? They didn't allow a point after the Chargers took a 10-0 lead with 2:57 to go in the first quarter. You can call us now at 800-636-1067. You can get to us on social at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny.
So I always hate answering a question like this because people immediately take it the same way we talked about that Luck conversation last year, as if it's some kind of a dig against them, right? When they go out and do something awesome, which is what they did yesterday, they forced more, they doubled their turnover total, or they're more than doubled it, right? We're going from 1 to 3 in 2 games. The stops that they had, the plays that they made, those plays happened. So I'm not taking it away. This, like, it's very easy to, you know, ridicule or mock or belittle when if they hadn't done this against a beat up offense, especially an offensive line, or hadn't been able to come up with those stops, they were getting dog walked. It was going to be 17-0 before that turnover happened, courtesy of Quan Martin and Marshawn Lattimore. But they took advantage of a banged up Chargers offense. That's what they did, and that's good. Right? You got to be at least good enough. We talked about this in week 1 against the Giants. Is this a playoff defense, or is this defense a 12-win defense, or whatever the question happened to be? They took advantage of a bad offense. We've seen that. When the Raiders couldn't protect Geno Smith, they harassed him and sacked him a bunch of times. They were nowhere to be found against Atlanta, nowhere to be found against Green Bay. These are the road games where quarterbacks picked them apart. Everyone's open all the time. You watched the start that Herbert got off to. I think it was 12 for 14. Again, wide open receivers. There were half a dozen other plays where receivers were hit in stride, big yards after the catch, but it was called back because of a legal shift or a hold or something to that effect.
Yeah, there were two. I'll give you the downs and distances right here. I got them. 2nd-and-19, 24-yard throw, middle of the field catch and run. And then 2nd-and-29, and they gave up 31.
Yeah, I think that was the Keenan Allen one, right?
Yes, it was. It was an unbelievable throw, honestly, on the sideline. It was kind of a hole shot. But still, 2nd-and-29, you give up 31. I mean, that is laughable.
Yeah, you know, like that saying in hockey, the worst thing to have is a 2-goal lead? That'd be like saying the worst thing in hockey to have is a 12-goal lead when it's 2nd-and-29. And we're sitting there quicking in our boots because we know the other team's going to get the first down.
But that's 55 yards on 2 plays on 2nd-and-a-mile, both negated, and then it's 3rd-and-even longer.
Yeah, so again, it always sounds like I'm skewing so negative when it comes to this, okay? So I don't know what else to do about that other than to say I give them credit. They took advantage of an offensive front that was already makeshift and got more so as the game progressed when guys are shuttling in and out. And that's what you needed to do. They needed to do exactly what they did to get the result that happened yesterday. Because I think if you line up and play it again with a, you know, healthier offensive line or one that, you know, wasn't in so much flux, that Justin Herbert is picking you apart. Guys are open at this point. I don't think that's been solved here with 1 week. And I hope this is a trend towards something else. I think you're going to give up stuff all season long. Maybe some of those take advantage turnovers can happen, though, right? Because that's what Dan Quinn's defense is, not necessarily the Legion of Boom, where they were just shoving it in every way, you know, 6 ways from Sunday. But in Dallas, they were going to give up some things, but they were going to take it away. Maybe that's the way that this is going to go here. And I'm hoping maybe that's the start of something.
Yeah, I think I feel really similarly. I'm going to do less equivocating and less like apologizing for it, because it's just, this is the job. The grownups are having the conversation at this point. They defensively, on the back end, still played poorly, I thought. Period. Was it better as a unit? Of course. The result was 10 points. The result was a second-half shutout. The result was a three-quarter shutout after the first quarter. Those are realities. That is true. But there's a lot in there. When you actually go back, a robot could look at a box score, right? You got to go through the game. There was a second and one before the field goal to make it 10-0. The Chargers, I think it was their second drive. They went right down the field. They kick a field goal. They get the offsides. Then they score a touchdown 2 plays later, 7-0. Washington gets the ball, immediately punts. Now the Chargers get the ball back, and they're moving. And, Danny, they had a second and one, or third and one, I think it was. And they run a play and get a first down for like 3 yards, and there was a penalty on the play that made
it. So it was second and one.
That's right.
It was a false start.
Because it was back-to-back. So it was second and one false start that made it second and six. And on second and six, they hit Justin Herbert on an incompletion, and on third and six, they sacked him. And so instead of a first and 10, basically in the red zone, it's now second and medium that turns into a big hit on the quarterback, and then a third and six, which is a much harder thing to do, and that leads to a sack almost at a field goal range and a 55-yard field goal. And so that was one of those where, like, the Chargers, again, kind of bail you out there when instead of a first and 10, who knows, it could be 14-0. And the game is littered with those. And that's not going to happen every week. It might happen Monday night against the Bears because they're not very good, because they're flawed, because they're in year one of a new coach and they're still finding their way and they're not that talented up front. But I think it's a reality. The other thing I'm going to say is that while I thought they rushed the quarterback well, like really, really well, best game I saw, most noticeable, fast game from Von Miller, Jacob Martin's best game, maybe Dorrance Armstrong's best game, certainly one of them. He had 2 sacks for the first time this season. I thought on the interior, Johnny Newton had a sack. He was noticed, made an impact. Daron Payne had that huge 7-yard loss play on a screen, made a couple of really nice plays in the backfield. As a defensive front, they dominated. They will not play a worse offensive line than they played on Sunday, period. They won't. It's not going to happen. And if the Chargers had their 5 starting offensive linemen, it's a different conversation. They don't. They lost their left tackle. They've lost their right tackle. They're both fringe all pros. And we said this last week. The 2 offensive tackles that they trot out there, they have a 3-guy rotation. They pick 2 out of. In fact, all 3 of them were in the bottom 9 among tackles in the NFL that had played so far in terms of the next-gen stats, metrics for pressure percentage, and some of that stuff. So they were pulling from some of the worst tackles who play and then still had injuries at the position during the game. So forgive me when I say you took advantage. Now, as you said, everyone's going to hear, oh, you guys are so nasty.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1, it's $15 a month. 2, seriously, it's $15 a month. 3, no big contracts. 4, I use it. 5, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Negative, you guys are jerks, whatever. That's fine if you just want to hear that and keep it moving. The fact is, it's not a negative at all. It just means let's not act like we've arrived. Let's keep coming here. Let's keep figuring this thing out. If you're on that defensive front, you just tasted that blood. You know what it feels like. Find a way to keep moving forward and keep progressing. But specifically on the back end, Danny, I didn't think they had a lot fixed. I thought there were a lot of open receivers, a lot of big plays, and in the competitive portion of the game before they could drop extra DBs back because the Chargers were an obvious passing down, yeah. You know, down two possessions or whatever in the third quarter and beyond. They also lost their running back, Kamarion Hampton, and started running less anyway. I thought they kind of did whatever they wanted for 2.5 quarters as a passing game and just shot themselves in the foot.
I thought so too. Yeah, I mean, and you even saw Hampton underneath a couple of times. Didn't go nuts before his injury, but still was open and available. I think at a long of 12 I think it was him that Frankie Louvu couldn't tackle in space. It may have been somebody else, but I think it was the Hampton on Louvu 1-on-1 where it just ripped right through Louvu's grasp, who was actually in good position that time. But yeah, they can. I just don't see. It's why I thought they'd lose the game, frankly. And I was dead wrong about that. I love the fact that I'm wrong. I like doing Victory Mondays way more than the alternative. But that's why, even with the pressure, I thought they would still be able to, you know, of the 5 or 6 or 7 sacks that they might have, there'd still be 30 times when the ball's in the air. And that's 23, 24, 25, 26 times where someone's going to be on the other end of it open. That's just how it felt to me. And that happened, but it also didn't because the Chargers miscues.
Yeah, so for me, I thought that they would harass Justin Herbert and get to him whenever they wanted to and basically sack him 6-7 times. 6-7. It was only 5, but they hit him 10 times. I got what I thought I was going to get in the second half, honestly. The first half looked nothing like I thought it was going to. And to the Chargers' credit, they were able to stay ahead of the sticks by running the ball a little better than I thought they would. And they moved the pocket really well. And they had some quick game stuff going. But they were even able to hold up okay on like 5-step drops in the middle of the field for a lot of those, you know, in-breaking things like Quentin Johnston. You remember the fumble play, yep. Some of that stuff. Like, they had whatever they wanted in the passing game. I thought the mobility of Herbert was a big reason for that. But as the game went on, when they knew they had the pass, and because of that, Washington knows you have to pass. There's just no way. You just cannot hold up with that group, and they didn't. But that's the question for you guys at 800-636-1067. Did the defense fix its problems, or some of them? We know they made strides. It was a much better performance. But do you think this was real progress and like some problems are solved here, or did they just play a team that they were able to get fat on? Kevin's in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. So I think it's a little bit of we were very fortuitous in that, you know, Slater and Ault don't even play the game because they're banged up, and then their O-line got banged up during the game. Oh, and Hampton as well. So let's pump our brakes on if we need to on, you know, how improved the D is. What I want to do is I do want to throw a bone to the youngins. Okay, it was nice to see Newton, you just mentioned this, get a sack in the pass deflection that led to Sanders' pick, which, by the way, made up for Sanders', you know, boneheaded play on the field goal that led to the first touchdown. The hit by Martin, and he's still a very young player, it turned the game. And, you know, Amos and Sanders, these are nice young players, but I was really excited about finally seeing McGee in the front 7. I think he's a talented player who's been banged up, and I'm excited about that. But, yeah, the best defense is a great offense, and particularly when Cliffy's running the ball and hogging the ball and resting our defense. That's just all I want to say about it.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, for McGee, Wagner still played 100% of snaps. They found a way to get McGee in on about 20% of those, the defensive looks.
It seemed to me like they ran more looks with a third linebacker. Also, what was Louvu's snap count? Because I wonder if he
came in there,
off a little bit. But it seemed to
99%. Louvu missed one snap.
So it was 3 linebackers.
Yeah.
So Louvu came down. This is actually what I was predicting preseason that we haven't seen any of, really, or very little of. But McGee playing as the second linebacker in the Louvu spot next to Wagner. I think you could do that a little more against a team like the Chargers that are going to be physical and try to run the ball with Greg Roman and heavy personnel packages, 12 and 13 and stuff. But then you had Luvu basically standing up or coming down at the line of scrimmage. So you had like a five-man front sometimes where you had McGee and Wagner at the second level. And McGee, he's fast. He made some plays.
He
was noticeable.
The play on the goal line especially.
Yes.
Where he's not sprinting, you know, all out to catch someone on the sideline, but is sort of doing that like basketball defensive slide drill, right? Where he's kind of sliding, shifting, you know, strafing as it were, and then shot upfield and stopped the guy dead. That was a great play.
Strafing's that's a great Madden term.
Old school Madden, that's where yeah. I went with you.
Jay in L.A. on Grant and Danny. What's up? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I was actually at SoFi for the game yesterday, and I got to say that I'm still not confident that this defense actually got better because, like, watching it in person, you could feel that whenever Herbert had time, he could move the ball with ease. And most of the big stops from the Chargers came from them beating themselves from, you know, penalties, missed throws, protection breakdowns, all that. So it wasn't like we were dominating, and that's been a pattern. I feel like we've been front runners. You saw it against the Giants, against the Raiders, and now against the Chargers. Like, once the offense gives them that two-score cushion, then they can start flying around and looking lights out. But early in games when it's tight, the same issues keep showing up. So I'll give them credit for effort and energy. That does matter. But until they can get those stops when the offense isn't rolling, I can't say that the defense has turned the corner yet.
Appreciate that. That's a smart point, too, because early on when it's the offense hasn't gotten going yet, you're on your way to 17-0 or at best 13-0, right? But again, the turnover happened. Quan Martin makes that play. Then Lattimore, his head's up jumping on the fumble. But again, that's a 50-50 proposition. There was a Chargers receiver within arm length of it as well. If you don't get that, again, it's points are about to happen. But I think it's a great point. Is once they've been up, they've feasted. Well, you think of the Giants and their other win that I'm blanking on. The Raiders, thank you.
Amarion Hampton, IR.
Yeah.
Ankle injury, out for at least four games. He left. That was another break for them, as it were, in the game with an ankle injury. And didn't play down the stretch of the game either. He had a monster early part of the game. A lot of catches, as you said. I think six out of the backfield in the early going. That was kind of the outlet. This was a full-on John Beck to Roy Helu situation where
yes.
I don't trust this line at all. So where are you at, Amarion? We're going to throw you the football. But he's going to miss a month. So they're already no Najee Harris for the season. Now a quarter of the year without their RB2, who's really their best running back. But they're going to go deeper down the depth chart. The Chargers are in trouble right now.
Yes, they are.
They're losing
they're
too
reeling.
Many guys. Next man up works. Next man up does not really work. And the Chiefs seem to always come out smelling like a rose, don't they? The walls are caving in. Oh, look how good the division is. The Broncos got a great win against the Eagles this weekend, and they are going to be frisky because their defense is awesome. But Bo Nix and the offense have come back to the pack a little bit. The Chargers were out to the 3-0 start. Seem to be running away with the West. Now they've completely caved in with back-to-back losses to the Giants, who stink, and the Commanders, who are pretty good, it seems like. But when you're the Patriots, when you're the Chiefs, you know, these dynasties, you look at that division, just seems like things go your way.
Always happens
too.
That way. I mean, just, yeah, as you said, ask the Patriots or ask the last couple years' Bills.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.